From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 8th day of March 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, a word I have not used in a long time, phytosanitary. Although you won't hear it in the news story, it's the reason behind the reason that U.S. pork is headed back to Russia. Also in the news, more trade issues. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has sent a team to Brazil to discuss the row over cotton with that South American nation. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And then don't forget, in 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The March wheat at 2.25 higher, 484.5 the settlement price. The May at 495. Up 1.5 in July at 507.75 for the soft red, 2 cents higher. Hard red, harvest month from Kansas City in the wheat, $5.13 the settlement price, up 1.5 from the corn pit in Chicago. Nearby March at 364.5, down 0.25. The May at 375, down 0.5. July at 386, down 0.5. September unchanged at 395. December futures at $4.03. Up 0.5 cent. March soybean futures 940.5, up 5.75. The May at 948, up 5.25. July beans 956, 5.5 cents higher. The August at 953.25, up 5.5. And the September soybeans at 941, up 6 cents for the day. Bean meal futures nearby contract 259.50, up 160. May at 258.70, up $1. The March in the bean oil at 39.95, up 23. May at 40.28, up 23. April live cattle 94.20, up $1.25. March feeders at 102.52.5, up 32.5. And April lean hogs today at 72.80, down 30 cents. Recapping, futures in the corn pit 364.5, down 0.25 today. December futures there up 0.5 at $4.03. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Settlement prices for the crude oil, $81.87 a barrel in the lead option, up 37 cents. April ethanol at $1.63.4. That's a penny and 9 cents higher on the afternoon. Natural gas at $4.53.2, down 6 1/10. The RBOB gasoline at $2.28.4, a penny and 3 cents higher. The heating oil at $2.10.4, down or rather up 0.6 of a cent. And the gold futures, a settlement price $11.20 an ounce lower. It finished at $11.23.60. That's $1,123.60 an ounce. Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 10,565. It's just about 68 points lower. And the U.S. dollar, trading at 80.43, is nearly unchanged for the hour. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like as it's prepared by our own Mike Sola. He says tonight in the southwestern parts of Illinois should be cloudy, with some showers arriving. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with some areas of patchy dense fog. Lows will range from 32 in northern Illinois to 46 in the southern part of the state. And then tomorrow, cloudy, scattered showers. Highs will range from 45 in northwestern Illinois to 63 in southern Indiana. The extended forecast says mild conditions this week with nearly a daily chance of rain showers will happen. The melting snow and rain from this week will begin to cause significant flooding concerns across parts of Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, and the Dakotas. And over the extended period from March the 15th and beyond, we should see drier conditions develop and near average temperatures. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy, high above the Chicago skyline.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
On a Monday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, is on the line with us to take up the agricultural futures markets today. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We have two big events this week. The first is our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting scheduled for tomorrow at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Looks like the weather will be fine. Well, fine is a relative term for that particular event. As long as it's not sleet and ice, it means it's fine, and even then everybody comes. And we've got a full house. There are more than, there'll be about 430 in the room, but I think 395, 96, something like that, paid to come into the room. The rest of us will be working that room. So it's closed at this point. If you were planning on making it over and you don't have a ticket, we're not going to be able to let you in. The fire codes and actually just available room are going to really keep us from doing that. So if you don't have a ticket, please don't come over, although we do have a special event for you tomorrow on this program for the Closing Market Report. Sometimes after Commodity Week, and Kurt Kimmel knows this, I will leave the recorders running. They really don't know whether I have or haven't, so it's kind of fun. And if they talk for a while, it really turns into a pretty decent little program that happened on Commodity Week this past weekend. If you listen to that program, I don't know whether you did, Kurt, or not, to hear what Glenn Ring had to say, but you know he's bearish and has been for a while, and it was pretty ugly, and we'll continue to talk with him a little bit tomorrow about that, but it's a lot more fun in the second part of that program. So we'll do that on our air here tomorrow. So if you're not able to make it over there because we're just sold out for the Beef House, you can come on over. But I know, Kurt Kimmel, you're going to be there, and you'll be looking forward to talking to a big crowd tomorrow, won't you?
You bet. We'll be there bright and early. I get the advantage of being first on the panel. I can probably say about anything by the end of the day. I forget, or somebody will top my ideas. So, but we always enjoy that. Man, that's amazing. 400. I remember you go way back a few years. We had a snow event, and we had a crowd of about 75. I think one time. So
I remember. Sometimes you never know. And the Beef House, I must admit that the Beef House is just a magnificent place to work with. We set this up second Tuesday of March every year. They know the events there. They put it in their schedule, and then they just set this room aside. And generally speaking, we don't tell them how many people are coming. Now, this is the first year we've ever pre-registered, and if we have 75, that's fine. And if we have 400, that's fine too. And it's really nice to be able to work with an organization that's willing to stretch from one end to the other for us. That's a long, long-term relationship. This event's never been anyplace else other than the Beef House, I don't believe. And this is our 20th annual event. So this is the 20th time we will have held our All-Day Ag Outlook. We're sure glad that you're going to be there. What do you think you'll tell them tomorrow?
Well, I'm on the bean panel, and basically on the bean side of the equation, we're waiting for the demand to shift to the southern hemisphere, and that demand is going that way. But any type of bleeps in the system there will send some demand back our way from time to time. But as a whole, I'm probably going to be boring. We feel that the bean market's in a sideways pattern here. We feel there's not enough news to be extremely bullish or enough news to be extremely bearish, for say. I mean, we can have a dollar up or a dollar down, but if that's big, you know, you got to put your seatbelt on because we got to be able to expect those moves. Probably the most encouraging thing in the bean sector is if you look at the livestock price, especially hogs, we're looking at 81 cent lean hogs, and that spells 60 cent cash hogs this summer, which is profitable to the producer. Cash fats are on a tear to the upside here. So we're looking at profitable levels in the livestock sector, which says we're going to continue to see this livestock demand here domestic-wise be a supportive feature underneath the market.
Now, I said that there were two major events that we were going to work with this week. One of them is the All-Day Ag Outlook. The other one is USDA's reports on Wednesday morning. And I don't recall whether, well, they will have a usage number out there because they'll have an ending stocks number. You think that they'll take into account this better livestock situation and increase usage in the Wednesday reports?
Well, probably not this report. And two, we got to go back. You know, we realize that the livestock feed usage category is sort of miscellaneous category, but we feel that the number will go up over time, not only from profitability, but two, I know you disagree with this, the test weights, we feel.
My job to disagree.
But we talk to guys that actually feed in some areas that are seeing a little bit more corn usage going into the feed rations, per se. So the combination of those two over time, and like I've said before, the USDA or the WASDE numbers won't probably reflect this and probably till September. So don't hold off on selling cash grain on rallies here on that theory right now.
Right.
It's a longer-term outlook. But the main thing is we've got the psychology in a positive mode, and that helps a ton in this type of atmosphere.
Okay. Well, you got us into the corn market, so tell me about the trade today. We had, it was narrowly mixed. Not much movement there. Kind of looked like a corn market of old, in fact.
No, you know, it's up and down. I know it's easier said than done, but short-term guys, you know, buy the downs and sell the ups and skim a nickel here and skim a nickel there. For guys looking to collect a little premium, there's nothing wrong selling some calls and selling some puts and letting the time decay eat away here over the short term. As far as a big up or big down, probably won't happen until the end of the month in here until we see what the acreage numbers are and see what type of spring forecast we have going into that first, second week of April.
All right. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning.
Very good.
Thank you much.
Bye.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon and Monday morning. If you want to hear Kurt again, you can always do that off our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, I told you that if you don't have a ticket, don't bother coming tomorrow because there are just too many almost for that room already. And so we won't have room for you, but that doesn't mean we won't have good things for you on the air here tomorrow and that you won't be able to go to one of our Ag Outlook meetings that are scheduled already for, well, this week and next week, both. For instance, we'll be in Logan County, that's Lincoln, Illinois, on Wednesday night of this week at the Fire Protection District building. That's not too far from the tropics, if you know where that is in Lincoln, Illinois, at 7 o'clock. And Gary Schnitke will be along for that one. Farm Management Specialist at the U of I, help you go through some of those crop insurance decisions. Jackie Vakes will be there from Stuart Peterson, and so will Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. And then right here in Champaign County, a week from tonight, not tonight, but a week from tonight, Gavin McGuire of E. Hedger and Kurt Kimmel of Bates will be at the Champaign County Farm Bureau building. This one's sponsored by the Champaign Corn and Soybean Club. That's on the 15th, and it starts at 7 o'clock the following night at the American Legion Post in Mazan. Jackie Vakes will be there along with Steve Erdman of EF Jeep and Merrill Crowley and Jerry Goodell. That's at the Grundy County Farm Bureau, and then the Effingham County Farm Bureau here in Illinois. We'll host a program on March the 29th. Those are all up on our website. Please do go visit it. It's at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you didn't get a ticket for our All Day Ag Outlook meeting, you can always visit willag.org. There are always Ag Outlook panels going on, probably one in your area. And if not, you can give us a call and get one scheduled.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through all the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, United States and Russia have reached final agreement on reopening the Russian market to U.S. pork. The final step was taken when the U.S. agreed to develop a new veterinary certificate that meets specific Russian microbiological and antibiotic residue requirements. The agreement was reached with the Agricultural Marketing Service in collaboration with the Food Safety and Inspection Service. AMS is expected to approve the first plants as early as this week. FSIS will then provide Russian authorities with a list of approved U.S. pork facilities. The long-running World Trade Organization battle over U.S. cotton has entered a new phase this week, with U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton sending a team to Brazil for talks, even as Brazil is set to announce sanctions on U.S. goods and services. Clinton says she has come into the cotton issue with a feeling where she says it's like, quote, "I've walked into a movie that's been going on for years, and it is my hope we can bring this movie to a happier ending. There is time for us to try to resolve this in a peaceful and productive way without any further action." U.S. Energy Secretary Stephen Chu says that the Obama administration wants to establish federal climate change policy this year and is talking with lawmakers about a wide range of options for rules that would limit greenhouse gas emissions. A new proposal by U.S. Senators John Kerry, Joseph Lieberman, and Lindsey Graham would scrap the economy-wide cap-and-trade plan in the U.S. House bill and instead devise separate rules for different industries. Chu says, quote, "We like what they're trying to do and are having discussions as they develop their plan." USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says the department plans to make a stronger case about the benefits of biotechnology as part of its focus on expanding agricultural trade. Vilsack spoke to farmers and other members of the Agriculture Committee at the Commodity Classic in Anaheim, California. His speech highlighted several initiatives to boost the rural economy, including boosting agricultural trade. Vilsack told the audience that to feed more people around the world, the U.S. has to do a better job of explaining the positive aspects of biotech crops. Vilsack said that will require a multifaceted strategy to articulate the benefits. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media and the force behind our all-day Ag Outlook meeting scheduled for the Beef House tomorrow. Please, if you do not have a ticket, if you did not pre-purchase a ticket for our Beef House event tomorrow, don't come. We're full, and we will have to turn you away. More than 400 already will be in that room. Don't worry, because we have something special lined up for this program for you tomorrow. If you listen to Commodity Week and what Glenn Ring had to say, you probably didn't want to hear a whole lot more about it, but it intrigued you with how bearish he was on that program. Sometimes I leave the recorders running, you know, after we're done. I did that on Friday evening, and I've got another 14 minutes with Glenn and Matt Bennett and Jackie Vakes that you'll hear on this program tomorrow. Of course, it will be posted to our website. The address there is willag.org. Something really fun for those folks that can't come over to the all-day Ag Outlook meeting tomorrow to listen to during the program tomorrow on the closing market report. Now, up next, you know, a return to profitability is the theme for the pork industry in 2010. I'll have more on how an ag economist at Purdue sees the revival. The U.S. pork industry has suffered 9 fiscal quarters of losses. The financial bleeding came as a result of soaring feed prices in 2007 and 2008. The recession in late 08 and 09, and an unhealthy dose of H1N1 that sickened pork demand. Remember, the original name was swine flu and unwittingly scared people away from eating pork. The future for the pork industry, though, is a bit brighter, says Purdue Extension Ag economist Chris Hurt.
The pork industry will benefit this year from reductions in supply, from improvements in demand, and from some moderation in feed cost. The industry has cut back the breeding herd by 6% over the past 2 years. So far in 2010, pork production in the U.S. has been down by 7%, with about 6% reduction in the slaughter and about 1% lower market weights. Lower weights are probably related to the cold winter in which animals just did not grow as quickly. But looking forward, pork production for the year is expected to be down about 2%.
Couple that lower production number with stronger demand from a recovering U.S. economy and a USDA export figure that's 8 points stronger, and it means a better bottom line for U.S. pork producers. Another contributor to higher hog prices in 2010, says Purdue's Chris Hurt, will be more moderate retail margins. When retail margins are high, a small portion of the retail pork price tends to get back to the producers. As an example, last summer and early fall, the retail margin was about $1.85 per retail pound, but this dropped to about $1.60 per pound by this winter. This meant that the producer's share of the retail sales went from about 23% to nearly 30%. More modest retail margins will likely to continue to contribute to higher farm-level prices for much of the year. It's just one more in a series of better news items for U.S. pork producers.
Prospects for feed cost have moderated as well after the January 12th USDA crop updates. Estimated cost of production for farrow-to-finish producers was about $54 per live hundredweight in 2008 and about $50 in 2009. For 2010, those costs are expected to be about $47 to $48.
Hog prices have already responded to the much-improved outlook, with more to come, says Chris Hurt. Live hog prices are expected to move into the higher $50 range in the late spring and into early summer. And second quarter prices are expected to average in the mid-50s, and third quarter prices about a dollar lower than that. He thinks the last quarter of 2010 and the winter of 2011 may see prices drop back seasonally to the $47 to $49 per hundredweight range. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On a Monday afternoon, time to check the cash grain markets, and the folks at the Andersons are on the line. Greg Johnson is here from Champaign County. Hi, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
So you're the one who bought 100 tickets, right, to tomorrow's event, is that correct?
Sure. Scalping is legal in Indiana, isn't it?
yeah, it is legal in Indiana. Yeah. Well, come on, you know, we're thinking we'll have 400 and we'll have 300 now, right?
I think I might be able to get, I wish I had some tickets to get rid of just to see whether we could sell those and for how much.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Tomorrow I expect we'll have a good event. So today, though, we need to talk about the cash grain market. Tell me what you've got there.
Well, cash corn basis levels are hanging steady. There's still a little bit of carry in the market, but down at the Gulf, the markets have flattened out. And with some of the processors closing down, bean basis is still hanging in there, but we look for it to weaken. So bean basis levels at some of the processor levels have dropped 5 to 10 cents already. Here at the country level, we haven't seen that yet, but if you haven't locked in bean basis, it might be a good time to do that now.
You know, back up, tell me why they're closing down. The regular maintenance or are there just lack of beans?
Bungie Danville is closing down, and then over in Indiana, there's one that's taking some downtime this week, and the rumor is they may be down more than a week. It may be 2 or 3 weeks. So, you know, those beans that were going to Danville have to go other places, and margins aren't quite as good. So I think you're seeing basis levels drop as a result of that.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn 353, new corn 373, cash beans 938, new beans 891, and new wheat 458.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joined us on a Monday afternoon to talk about the cash grain market. We'll be at our All-Day Ag Outlook tomorrow. In just 2 minutes, we'll be back when we'll talk about the agriculture weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The Citizens Utility Board is putting together a list of petition signatures against Ameren's proposed $130 million rate hike proposal. The consumers group says the increase is proposed at a time when the utility should be cutting consumer rates. The increase would affect what Ameren charges to deliver power and natural gas, which makes up about a third of typical homeowner bills. CUB Director Dave Collada says the request is excessive considering Ameren's profits and the poor economy. He says Ameren is seeking yearly increases and that the Illinois Commerce Commission needs to put its foot down. Last month, a judge recommended that the state lower the rate hike the utility proposed to $56 million. The mother of two Illinois boys who authorities say were killed by their father says she hopes legal changes could keep other families from suffering a similar tragedy. The boy's father failed to return the children to their mother, Amy Lichtenberg of Leroy, 1 year ago today. Lichtenberg says she plans a final public memorial for the boys, 9-year-old Duncan and 7-year-old Jack, on April 10th. Authorities say Michael Connolly of Bloomington killed his sons last March before killing himself. Lichtenberg says she would like to see Amber Alerts issued immediately if an order of protection is in place and children aren't returned. The mother says she's gone inside the boys' bedrooms just once over the last year. A professor of urban planning on the U of I's Urbana campus says an increase in a green fee approved by students last week creates numerous opportunities. The installation of LED light bulbs has brought some energy savings, but Brian Deal says hiking the fee from $5 to $14 per semester will also enable departments to seek out no-interest loans from the Student Sustainability Committee to pay for other lighting and water fixtures in campus buildings. Deal also says this should allow the U of I to revisit the idea of placing a wind turbine on campus. Indiana's Chamber of Commerce says an office shooting in the northwest city of Portage shows why Governor Mitch Daniels should veto a bill that would allow workers to keep firearms locked in their vehicles or in trunks or out of sight while parked on company property. Police say 60-year-old Edgar Tillery of Portage became upset during his job review Friday, then retrieved a shotgun from his car, and he fired twice at a State Department of Workforce Development office. He faces a charge of attempted murder, although no one was hurt. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On this Monday afternoon, we're joined by the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo is with us. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And two things. First, it's 47 degrees here. That's beautiful. But as we discussed just before we came on the air here, that seems a little early for a 47-degree mark. And secondly, what's the weather going to be like for our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting tomorrow at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, right there on the Illinois-Indiana border, just 40 miles away?
Yeah, we're certainly getting a little taste of spring here this week as we've gotten out of our cold pattern. And overall, the jet stream has cut off the flow of Arctic air into the central and eastern U.S. However, it could be warmer, as we've seen sometimes in early March. We've had temperatures climb into the 50s, even 60s and 70s in some years. Fortunately, we're not going to see any of that here across Illinois or the Midwest, at least over the next couple of weeks. But for the next 5 days, temperatures will be warmer than average. However, along with that, we are going to see an increase in rain activity, and that rain activity will begin overnight tonight as the first of several kind of waves of rain move across the Midwest, and that will continue really off and on throughout the week as two separate upper-level disturbances cross the Midwest. So kind of a compromise here. We got some warmer temperatures, but also some rainy conditions, even mixed in with a little bit of frozen precipitation, not here specifically in Illinois, but more northwest in the northwestern portion of the Corn Belt. And specifically for tomorrow here, yeah, it looks like off and on rain here throughout the day. But with that, you know, milder temperatures, at least for this time of year, similar readings again in the upper 40s.
We'll call that no problem for the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, but it is a problem that we get rainfall in the upper parts of the and northern parts of the Midwest, northwestern parts of the Midwest in particular. They have an awful lot of snow on the ground. I would think that rain and snow will mix together quite nicely for a flood event. How concerned should we be?
We have some concern at this time. And that is primarily due to the incredible amounts of snow that are actually still on the ground in portions of northern Iowa, Minnesota, and the Dakotas. At least with the rain systems here coming through over the next couple of days, the heavier precip looks to stay at least further south of that area, especially the Red River there in areas of the eastern Dakotas and western Minnesota. And the thing that we're watching for here longer term is do we get into an extended cold spell again later on in March and in early April. Having that combined with the snow, combined with possible heavy rains, and then it's that kind of key cold time frame in late March, early April, which sets the stage here for more significant flooding. So certainly some things are lining up right now. Not everything at this stage, but that's obviously something that we'll be watching closely over the next few weeks.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Monday afternoon. I'll talk to you again tomorrow at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, or right here on this radio program.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.